Thank you, Merle. Thanks. I would like to start out by thanking my co-authors. John Beasley's our peanut specialist there in Tifton. Julie Howe is a soil chemist at Auburn University, and Robert Florence was a grad student at the time of this project was done. By the way, this is a picture of how we harvest our research plots with a fairly small, they are machine harvested with a small harvester, bagged up and weighed and then sampled later. Calcium and peanut is a unique plant, as you know, and it has a unique requirement for calcium, an unusually high requirement for calcium. It's probably the most important nutrient for a peanut, basically. If you do not provide enough calcium to the peanut, you get what we call pops, which means they have no or very little kernel development. When you press them, they pop because there's no nut inside, which obviously decreases yield. You can also get pod rot and aflatoxin with low calcium levels. And something else that's very important is if you are producing peanuts to be grown for seed the following year, calcium nutrition is very important for germination of the seed. And if we have enough time, I'll go into some of that. Here's a picture on the left. When you have adequate calcium provided to a peanut, you see the full kernels developed inside the shell, and on the right you see the low calcium or pops when there's very little kernel development. Peanuts also unique in that most crops can take calcium from the soil into the roots, up through the plant, and then translocate it to developing fruit. Peanuts cannot do that very well, if at all. So basically, you have to have a lot of soluble calcium right in the top 3 inches, what we call the pegging zone. So it can actually be absorbed directly in through the shell and into the developing kernel. As far as recommendations, in Alabama and Georgia are different. There was actually a publication put out about 15 years ago, right before I came to Georgia, where they were supposed to standardize recommendations between the two states, actually 3 states with Florida also. Somehow that didn't happen. So we have a little bit different recommendations. Alabama, on the left, you can see they kind of more what you think of typically with other crops and other nutrients. They have 3 levels, low, medium, high, of calcium in the soil. And then they factor in lime recommendation. You can see that if you're low, for example, you need 250 pounds of gypsum. If you had lime, and 500 if you did not, etc. Georgia is a little different. On the right, we say that if you use the lime method, if you put the lime at planting or before, you do not need additional calcium for most peanuts. If you do not use lime, we have a test where we say take a soil sample from that pegging zone. You need at least 500 pounds of calcium per acre. And also a calcium to potassium ratio of 3:1. If you do not meet either of those criteria, then we recommend 1,000 pounds of gypsum. Down here on the right, you see it's in pounds of calcium per acre, but really you can see for runner peanut, 160 to 200. Back when these recommendations were made, a lot of calcium gypsum products range from about 16 to 20% calcium, so with 1,000 pounds, that was your range. By the way, most gypsum materials available today are all around 20. But, you hear a lot about, well, new varieties, higher yielding, do we need to confirm some of our fertilizer recommendations? With peanut, we had something else going on. We had a major shift in varieties from a small seed to a large seed. And we know that the larger the seed of the peanut, the more calcium it needs. And basically, we had gone from growing a small seeded peanut, Georgia Green, over 800 pounds of seed per, or 800 seeds per pound, and we made in just a few years a major shift to a large seeded variety, namely Georgia 06G, that's a lot larger peanut. So that was another major emphasis for putting this study together. You see some other varieties in here that I have included in some of the studies I'm going to show you. Also, Georgia Greener, which is another variety, and it's categories as a medium. We do not have a lot of data on it. We realize, in fact, we put that in some of our studies this year for the first time, to evaluate a medium-sized runner. But basically, these recommendations are very old, so we wanted to confirm them. We know that seed does affect, and here's a good picture of some typical Georgia green of small-seeded runner versus 06G, which is our large-seeded runner. To simplify things, and because we don't have a lot of time, I'm going to concentrate on our Georgia data. And one of the ways that we kind of present this to Georgia growers to tell them, you know, how we see this is basically where our current recommendations have been 500 pounds of calcium in the pegging zone. If not, you need gypsum. We do not grow a lot of Virginias, which are very large seeded peanuts, but we knew that was 2,000. And Dr. Beasley and I especially got together for a long time and said, well, you know, maybe since these large seeded runners are in between, we need an in-between recommendation where instead of 500, you need 750 in the soil, and when you need it, maybe instead of needing 1,000, you need 1,500. And as you're going to see, that didn't quite turn out the way we thought it would, and that's why you do the research. So what I'm going to do is go quickly through 11 site years from 2008 and 2010, all in Georgia. And I'm going to go through them individually because it's really important to look at each time where that pegging zone calcium was. And it ranged, you're going to see, from about 285 to 950. Gypsum rates are 0, 5, 100, 1,000. And a lot of our later studies, we were able to include a higher rate of 1,500. Quickly, some of the field information, plot sizes were 6 foot by 30 foot long. Main cultivars, George Green and 06G. Gypsum was applied by hand. Plots were machine harvested. Yield grade germination of calcium seed was done. By the way, the gypsum we used was an FGD gypsum, a smokestack or synthetic, as our Georgia growers call it. There's been a lot of papers in this meetings on FGD gypsum, and it's very available where we are. It's used quite a bit, and it seems to work, as you will see, very well. There's just an example of putting the gypsum on out by hand during bloom time. And basically, all the 11 slides I'm going to run through are set up the same. Up in the top left corner, you'll see the location and the year, and like I said, most importantly, probably the pegging zone calcium. This was the initial study we did in 2008. As you can see, the pegging zone at 285, that would be considered very low. In fact, that's fairly rare. Remember, the cutoff we have is 500. You don't see them below 500 all that much, to tell you the truth. And that kind of explains some of this data we saw. Actually, the Georgia Green seemed to respond a little to 500, for some reason did not to the 1,000-pound rate of gypsum. But look at the 06G. It was almost a linear response. Really wish we had had 1,500 pounds of gypsum in this study to see if it would have responded. Again, we never had another low site like that with a high rate, so we'll never know. But you can see they're acting differently right off the bat as far as the different varieties. Go to 2009 at the same site, and even though we're at the same location, you can see that the pegging zone test overall was higher. It was up 400 now. But you see an interesting response. Both Georgia Green and 06G responded to gypsum up to the 1,000-pound rate. This is good. Confirms our current recommendations. Again, we expect to see a response when you're below 400 pounds of calcium in the pegging zone. The Ponder Farm in 2009, we had a little more room, so we were able to include a couple more varieties. As you can see on the left, George Green, and on the right, 06G again. But in the middle, we were able to include two other large seeded varieties, Florida 07 and Tip Guard. So you got to kind of look at each of the responses individually. But notice the pegging zone calcium here is 450, so it's just below that 500. You got to remember there was some fudge factor in that 500 number, I can tell you, when it was developed. But you can see Georgia Green, Florida 07, Tip Guard, not a whole lot of response. It does look like the Georgia 06G, however, did respond. So even when you're right around that 500, you don't always get a great response to all these varieties. Staying in 2009, you already see pivot. Now we're at a pegging zone of 700, so we're well above our 500-pound requirement, and you can see pretty much a flat line in yield response for both a small seed and a large seed. So again, that thinking that maybe when we go to 700, you know, we might need to go to 750 in the pegging zone, This data here would not support that, and it would tell you basically that 500 is probably enough. Here's another one, an on-farm trial that was. All these, by the way, were randomized complete blocks for replications. Pegging zone 700, a little more noisy in the data as you expect on an on-farm, but basically no response. Again, pegging zone was up around 700. And one last one in 2009, and this was an interesting one. This is a deep sand irrigated site south and southwest Georgia. And it looked like we got a bit of a response to both Georgia Green and O6G, small and large seeded, even when we had a pegging zone of 950. So we were thinking, well, maybe we have to have a separate recommendation for deep sands. When we say deep sand, it means you have no subsoil clay technically within the top 15 inches. We have some deep sands that don't have any subsoil clay with the top 20 feet. So it's a very deep sand, we thought. But keep that in mind when we click through the last slide, which will be this site in 2010. Okay, so going to 2010 then, and we're going back through the sites. ABAC, now right around that 500-pound soil test level, and again getting a decent response for Georgia Green and O6G. Notice O6G, again, these new variety, large seeds also almost always out-yields Georgia Green. Here's another one, Ponder Farm this year, just above the 500-pound level. This is a bit noisy, and you have to look at each one individually again. But it looked like Georgia Green had somewhat of a response. Florida 07 almost had the typical response. O6G, I'm not sure why it stayed down at 500 and jumped up. Also notice that a lot of these, if you notice the 1,500-pound level, it either dropped off and never was above. And this is really important because this has generated a lot of interest in calcium nutrition on peanut, and a lot of farmers are thinking, well, you know, like a lot of farmers do, well, if I'm using 1,000, maybe 1,500 on these would be even better. And we actually have seen some yield decreases. We haven't confirmed exactly what that's from. Our two leading theories would be that much calcium is forcing a potassium or magnesium deficiency, and probably potassium. Pegging zone or a Palk Farm, this is real low, and this is one of the only times we got this kind of response. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if it had to do with the irrigation scheme or being on farm or whatever, but again, super low pegging zone calcium. And for both varieties, this is the zero gypsum. Once you put some gypsum on, you jumped up and almost doubled yields. And then Georgia Green kind of had a slight response above that, and the O6G same way, but increased fairly good going above that. So that was a very interesting response for that site. Pivot, again, 750. Didn't see much response. And this is probably one of our best soils also, by the way. All these plots were irrigated except for that ABAC field, and even the ABAC field had some decent rain on it most of the time. And then the last one I'll show is the Stripling Irrigation Park in 2010. Again, that's the one we had a good response, even with this high pegging zone calcium on the O6G, and it did not seem to pan out the following year. These yields were not as good that year, and maybe that had something to do with it. I don't have time much to go into the germination of the seed, but one important thing that came out of a lot of this research also, we were able to look at both germination here. As you can see, increased in both varieties when you put gypsum on, and then the calcium in the seed, and the calcium in the seed in all the studies with O6G is always lower. We figured that's a dilution effect because it is a lot bigger nut. But what we've been able to do is confirm this curve, and there's been a number of these curves out there, where there's a direct correlation between seed calcium and germination. And the seed companies have been very interested in looking at this data. I'll click through the next two with these other varieties because you get different parts of the curves with these. But basically, if you put the 2009 data together, which is 184 data points, you get this nice curve. And you know, 85% is kind of considered minimum. If you look at that, you're saying I need at least about 300 parts per million of seed. You show this to seed companies, and they say, well, we really want it up more in that upper part of the curve around 95, and you need more like 500. So that's generated a lot of interest. From here, we're looking at different sources and timing. Maybe that'd be another talk for another year. So I'll just finish with that. And basically, say our conclusion was, believe it or not, the recommendations do seem to hold for the large seeded varieties. A lot of people say, well, you know, I thought the large seeded needed more. And we're saying, well, it's not necessarily they need more, but we do think it's more important, and there's a difference. And luckily, like I said, it's generated some interest, and I think they're more aware, and hopefully we they'll do a good job with calcium nutrition. All right, thank you.
All right.